right. Well, here we go. We're going to talk about two things today. We're going to talk about willpower, and then I'll talk about body language. And on the body language, I'm going to do that for salespeople when they're at a listing presentation, if it's a real estate person, or if you're in retail, when you're in a sales situation. But let's talk about willpower. And mine's been tested already this morning, sitting in a traffic jam, just trying to get across the bays here in Auckland. So let me just put a couple of things in place on willpower. So willpower, and we think, okay, are we mentally strong? Are we able to do what we should be able to do or should be doing? Our priorities. We need to think about this. It's a biological function, and it's working on the conscious mind. So that's 5% of the brain. 95% is subconscious, which is going to program you, going to repeat exactly what you've been doing in the past. Now it's that 5% fighting against that to do something that's different. Maybe something that is unfamiliar or something that you don't actually enjoy. That's when you have to tap into that willpower. So let's have a couple of principles or concepts in there. First one is it's a limited resource and you burn through it. Now, you're using energy to use your willpower. Now, things will affect that energy. Stress will affect it. Chaos will affect it. If it's an unfamiliar task, that will affect it. If you've got distractions, that will affect it. So already you can see you're up against it, and it's going to be hard. And this is why it is hard. And I have people asking me or telling me that they have challenges around willpower. So first of all, you're only using 5% of your brain to try and get it to kick in. 95 is probably working against it. Second one is it's a limited resource, and all these factors chip away at it, naturally make it harder. So now we need to start thinking about what's our defense, or how do we reinforce our willpower? And it's pretty easy, really. And there's going to be no surprises here, but this is because it's a biological function, what you need to consider and what you need to do. So first one is sleep. You need the sleep to have the energy to replace the energy so that you can have the willpower. Next one is nutrition. If you are not fueling yourself with the right food and enough of it and at a frequency where you can keep going, your willpower is going to drop off. Next one is exercise. That's going to keep you healthy. That's going to keep your body in motion, and that's going to put everything together. Next one, being mindful. And that's simply being top of mind that you have a task to do and you need to focus on it. You need to have a structure and some discipline around it. Now, if you're tired and you're hungry and you're fatigued, you're not going to get there. So that's why I put those other three in there as I roll through. Now, that energy, you can burn that energy when you don't need to. I'll give you an example. If you think about some of the icons of industry, and they tend to wear the same clothes. They wear a black T-shirt or a white T-shirt. They wear jeans. They wear a hoodie. And they wear the same thing literally every single day. What they're doing there is reducing the amount of decisions they need to make. So they're conserving their energy so they can use it on the willpower on something that's more tasking and challenging for them. Another example of that would be, what do you eat? So if you keep your diet clean and healthy and it's pretty boring and it's the same all the time, you take away that decision, that choice and that mental energy burn of, oh, what do I think I'll have today? I'll just eat the same stuff you had yesterday. Just eat your kumara and eat your chicken. That's as easy as it gets. So as we now know it's an energy and we're replacing it, and sleep is the component, it gives you a daily cycle saying by the end of the day, your willpower will decline. And that's why by the end of the day, the biscuits in the fridge or the chocolate in the fridge, or for some people, I guess the beer that, or the wine that's in the fridge will kick in and you'll want that. Now, you're probably, hopefully not reaching for that in the morning, but at the end of the day, your willpower is less. It is an energy source, it's been depleted, and then you're going to refill by getting your sleep, getting your nutrition, and getting your sleep. So, last little tip here on willpower. Do the challenges early in the morning when you've got the most resource, the most willpower. Later in the day, your willpower is going to be less. It's going to be harder to tackle the big items that you need to get out of the way. So there we go. That's willpower. Hopefully there's been some advice in there that can stick to you and you can use. Next one, body language. So I'll talk to real estate salespeople on this one. And if you're retail or any other sales situation, then you'll be able to put this together for you. So I'm going to give you 8 quick tips as we go through and see how you apply this. First one, head up, chin up. So if we're heads down or chin down, that's not going to look confident. So head up, chin up, and with that, you're also going to pull your shoulders back and chest up. So now we're taking a confident stance. Confidence, or being able to look confident, demonstrates that you've got some knowledge and you know what you're doing. So here I'm going to sort of, you know, so first one, head up, chin up. Next one, shoulders back and chest up. And that's also going to open your lungs out. So your voice and everything will project far better than before. Now, if I sum that up or just put that together as a line entry, I'll call it posture. And that's where I say that's got to be confident. That means you know what you're doing and the person has confidence with you. Next step after that, WSS, walk, yeah? So it is walk, stand, sit. So now what I'm looking at is in those 3 aspects, which is if you're a real estate salesperson and you're meeting a client in their home and you're going to list the home and take it to market, they're going to see you walking, they're going to see you standing, and then they're going to see you sitting. So have a look at that and think about those chunks and how you take control of that. Walking to the house. Make sure that you've got a good walk. It's slow. It's not too fast. It's got confidence. When you stand, then your feet are shoulder width apart. You've got a good stance. You're facing directly towards them. You look confident. And then when you sit, make sure that you've still got an upright position and that you don't look slouched over. So number 5 that I've got in here for real estate salespeople is we talk to people in their homes, and quite often they'll say, you know, do you want to sit at the kitchen table or do you want to sit in the lounge? Now, the lounge, in my experience, has a sofa that's so low, your knees are up and you're leaning back, and it just blows that posture. So if you can, I think stay at the table. You're more upright, you look far better. If you are sitting in the lounge and you've got no choice but you're leaning back, then spread out a little bit because the width gives you confidence. If you're all hunched up like this, no confidence. And if you think about the guys that we were boxing with and sparring with this morning, then you're in a shell, you're all covered up. So the guy that's relaxed and maybe a better fighter or has more confidence in his ability, he opens up a little bit more because he doesn't think he's going to get hit. And you can see that when you watch it on a video. So here, you might, if you have to sit down on your back, maybe expand a little bit, and that'll bring confidence back and compensate for the way that you've sunk into the couch. Next one, if you want to be open and honest, and that's how you're going to have to be to get the trust of somebody and have them believe in you, do a couple of things. Do not fold your arms. So typically folding your arms would need to be in a cluster of body language to be able to take a meaning from it. But on the basis that you do that, it looks defensive and they're going to wonder what you're hiding or what you're worried about or what you're defending or what's not quite right. So that's not a helpful posture for you. Next one is keep the eye contact going. If you're looking away, looking down, looking up, looking over, or looking like that, again, why are you breaking eye contact? So don't stare at them and make it really uncomfortable, but do maintain that eye contact. There's enough eye contact. You're looking at them directly. You're paying attention to what they say, and then you can defer to your notes or your material, and then you're looking back. Next one after that is fidgeting. I've watched this in a number of meetings now. You can tell when the person's under a little bit of pressure or something, they've said something that's uncomfortable for them, or they've heard something that's uncomfortable, and they fidget. So the hands do a little fidget, yeah? The hands might sort of clench up a little bit, and they might move around. So watch for that, but also watch that you don't do that. Next one is angling away. So when you're standing, so you remember you've got the walk, So the walk, stand, sit. When you're walking and when you're standing, make sure you're square onto them like that. Yeah. Now, some cultures you won't do that. You'll be a little bit side off so that you're not. It doesn't look aggressive. But normally, square onto them as you go. So just be aware of that. So you haven't got your feet pointing in the opposite direction, or you are pointing towards the door, which just gives that sensation that you don't want to be there. Next one, really easy. We're down to the last two. The next one is smile. So how easy is that? If you smile, you just look like you're enjoying yourself more, and it looks like you like them. And then the halo effect kicks in, which is people like people that like them, and people like people that are like them. So I won't talk about mirroring in this one, but just remember, just get the smile in there. They do something that you enjoy smiling. If you enjoy them, tell them that. Oh, I really like you guys. I like this house and I like you guys. So add that in. And the last one, keep your hands visible. So if we're now sitting at the dining room table, don't have your hands under the table. Don't have them in your pocket or behind your back. You know, a greeting or a handshake is traditionally to show I'm not armed, I'm not carrying a weapon, I'm safe, I'm about to engage with you, so you can trust me. So now when we are presenting to people, keep your hands where they can see them. The minute I put my hands out of sight, it is literally I am hiding something. So as I negotiate and I'm dealing with a buyer, if their hands are hidden, it's one indicator, and I'm looking for a number of them, that they probably have more money they haven't told me about that they want to spend on that house, or that I want the vendor to have for that house. So real estate salespeople or anybody in that situation, keep your hands where they're visible, and it helps you build trust. So there we go. Hope that is of value. That is willpower and some body language there when you're presenting and dealing with your clients. Silent, unseen, it's going to help you get the listing. So there we go. Thank you. Ciao.